Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We won't spend an eternity here on this podcast talking about the newest indictments against President Donald Trump and the attempts by Democrats and the Department of Justice to keep him from running for president, or maybe more importantly, to keep him from becoming president, which is the ultimate goal, as they're completely freaked out and scared to death of all this, as they have control and they want to keep control and they love what they're doing to this country, tearing it down, breaking it down, making it more difficult for young people and middle-class people, and thus creating a better situation for the government to control pretty much everything in their lives and create dependency for people. But I will put a little context onto what happened on Tuesday. The first thing that needs to be noted is this is the third time Trump has been indicted. There's likely a fourth coming, and that will be in the state of Georgia. But this is the third time they've done this, and Jack Smith went ahead and did it again as the special counsel and came after Donald Trump. All three times this has happened to Trump, it's been a coordinated effort by the Biden reelection campaign, the Democrat National Party, and the Department of Justice to go after Trump immediately, okay, immediately indicting him after really bad news happens for the Bidens. We saw this happen on Monday as Devin Archer was testifying. It was a terrible day for the Biden crime family. And so immediately the next day, is they were just holding this. They knew, they planned it. They knew the day that Devin Archer was going in, they knew what he was going to say because they know what they did. Okay, let that one happen, then drop the bomb on Trump the next morning, and that's exactly what they did. This is all three indictments now against Trump have happened within 24 hours of really bad Biden news. I guess the only surprising thing is that they didn't happen maybe on the same day, that they didn't just go ahead and drop this on Monday while Archer was in there giving his testimony and then allowing every media outlet anywhere to just completely ignore the Devin Archer testimony. They're doing it the day after. I think I would advise them to go ahead and do it the day of or late in the day of, but this way they get the complete news cycle and it kind of is what it is. So that's number one in their playbook. Number two is, it's pretty obvious now, I said on a Patreon podcast yesterday, I've seen a report that this has now cost Donald Trump $40 million to defend himself. But now I've heard other people and seen other reports over the last 24 hours that it's closer to $60 million. And I guess some of this maybe is coming out of the campaign. I don't know all the campaign finance laws and how all that works. But this has just got to be killing Trump financially. I mean, I can't even imagine what this is going to wind up being a year from now or longer as he goes into a campaign. So they're weakening the candidate they believe they're going to run against. Even if they're not changing votes, they're weakening his ability to spend money to finance his campaign, to create media, buy time, and do all the things necessary to do in swing states. It's creating a shortage of cash in swing states among GOP state operations. They're seeing that in Arizona. And they're seeing it in Pennsylvania. And it's costing the GOP a lot that this is happening. It's handcuffing, if you will, Republicans' opportunities to win in 2024 because it's just financially costing Trump and the trickle-down of fundraising millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. So they know that part of it works. If nothing else works, and ultimately it doesn't matter whether there's any crimes here. And this was the thinnest yet of all the indictments. And if the judge is worth anything, and the judge is not, the judge was appointed by Obama. The judge has been the toughest on sentencing January 6th protesters in D.C. The judge looks like a just completely devout liberal that has already previously once ruled against Trump when Trump filed a motion to try to do something in a court in 2021. A couple of years ago, the judge threw it out and ruled against Trump. This is a Trump-hating judge, a Trump-hating court, a Trump-hating DOJ, a Trump-hating special counsel. This is all political. Americans seem to know that. And there is no real crime here. He's accused of, again, I don't want to get in the weeds of the indictment. What he's accused of is basically making, a politician making false statements or exaggerating, essentially, is what they're saying he did. He said things that people could, you know, it could upset them. Oh, my God, no, not a politician would say something that would upset some people or motivate them. That's not a crime. That'll never be a crime. There's nothing in any of this saying that he caused the attack on January 6th or was complicit in tearing down the barriers or going inside or whatever happened on that day. There's none of that. They essentially, the third component of this thing, they essentially are accusing, I'm sorry, they're not accusing, they're essentially indicting Donald Trump for everything they did in 2016 when he won. Hillary Clinton called him an illegitimate president. They said the election was a fraud, Russian interference. If it wasn't for Trump and Vladimir Putin being buddies, that Trump would not have won. We know everything they said. It's all on the record. He didn't put his DOJ after them and indict any of them. They always break barriers. The Democrats, the best term for them that they've coined for themselves is progressive. They keep moving the ball into territories that we've never seen in American history. And this is it. Now they're attempting to jail their lead opponent for president of the United States. This could never have happened in this country when we were a great country. We are not a great country anymore. We peaked. We peaked decades ago. The schools, the institutions, and the liberals have torn this country down. They've ignored the Constitution. They have moved the country so far left that we really almost have no chance of achieving, once again, the greatness that we once had. We created the greatest civilization that man has ever known, and now we're hell-bent on tearing it apart. Internally, tearing it apart. And the people that want to tear it apart are in charge. And so they can do it block by block, chip by chip. They're getting it done. And we see that. And one of the ways you just completely degrade the country is attacking the institution of the president's office, which they've done. With Joe Biden as their president, they attack the institution that is the presidency. And by indicting Donald Trump, they attack the institution that is the presidency. It was once revered. There was a time when we had respect even for presidents in the other party. It said we respect the office, we respect the power, we respect the dignity. It's gone. It started with Barack Obama, and it's gone. This has been Barack Obama's goal his whole life. Tear down the Constitution and create a new country, a socialist country. Not the one that was founded by the colonists, the white people, the slave owners. Tear that down. Forget the fact that for over 200 years, it was the greatest civilization known to man. It saved the world. It saved millions of lives, countless lives. No, these people want to come in. They want to remake that. They want to get rid of the Constitution. They want us to be globalist. They want us to be one worlders because they want to work with other powerful companies to keep regular people down, to keep them in need of the ruling class. This is what monarchies have done forever. This is what dictators have done forever. This is what elite rulers throughout civilization have always done. Keep the population down. Keep them needing you. This is what the Democrats do in the United States. They don't like us free thinking. They don't like the Constitution. They don't like what our forefathers set forth for us. They want it destroyed, and Donald Trump is a big threat to that. Moreover, those that believe what Donald Trump believes are a bigger threat than even Donald Trump. And so they try somehow to make you believe that you can't support him because he's such a bad person. He's a criminal. He's a thug. He's all these things that they've called him. And voter by voter, they're disenfranchising people. It has worked. There's no place better to look than the primary where he brags that he has a big lead, and he does have a big lead. But there's still 45% of the people out there that consider themselves Republicans that right now are not supporting Donald Trump. What the Democrats are doing is working. They're indicting him for things that they did, that they invented. He took it from their playbook. Hey, that's not fair. Hey, you cheated. Hey, this election is fraudulent. So they're indicting him for that. They're costing him millions and millions and millions of dollars, thereby reducing his ability to campaign and win and target ad campaigns against Joe Biden in swing states. And they always do this the day after the Bidens are hanging by a thread because of the crimes that they've committed. That's my takeaway on the whole thing. It's disgusting. I don't know how we get back to civility in this country. or at least some sort of set of rules of what's fair and what is not. I would think that any American can see at this point that weaponizing the Department of Justice for political gain is, well, it's not treason. It's revolution is what it is. It's a coup. It's a government coup against conservatives, against traditional Americans. That's what's taking place. There is a coup in our government that they've overtaken this thing, and now they're weaponizing everything at their disposal against us. And yes, that's you and I. Us, conservative Americans, are being targeted. There is no question that this government is targeting conservative Americans. We've seen it now for a couple decades. It started with Lois Lerner and IRS scandals, and we knew that they were, you know, the IRS was targeting more conservative voters than liberal voters in digging into their taxes and auditing people. That was just the tip of the iceberg compared to what they're doing now. They're jailing people for walking in open doors of the Capitol building 20 minutes after people had already entered and walking in and taking pictures in the rotunda. Husbands and wives who walked in there and, well, it's open and the cops are waving us in, and they walk in and they took some pictures, but they got caught on camera, so they had to serve 60 days in jail too, even though that's all they did was walk in and take a picture when the cops were waving them in. Mm-mm. This is bad. You know, Trump is the big target for them, but we're all targets. We're all targets. And right now, this isn't about putting him in jail. This stuff can get prolonged and delayed till after the election. We all know what's going on here. This is about burning through his cash, costing him hundreds of millions of dollars, which is going to be our money, I think, in some way. They could start a legal defense fund. There's all kinds of different ways that they could raise money, and Trump supporters will support him to help offset this. He's difficult to work with. We know that. I'm not convinced he has the best lawyers. He's been through a lot of legal teams. There could be a lot of missteps here that could cost him greatly. This all worries me greatly, just because those people will do anything to win an election, and they're in charge. It almost feels like as long as they're in charge, there's no way of getting them out. They're going to use the DOJ to win. They'll do whatever they have to do. They'll arrest anybody. They'll indict anybody. They'll do whatever they have to do to win. They have control of the deep state. They have control of the federal government. The entire apparatus that runs this country, they have control of, and they're weaponizing it against Trump, but moreover, weaponizing it against you. KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, online at robertsrobinson.com. Big discounts available now. They're doing it on a lot of great vehicles from Chevrolet, including the Chevy Silverado, which is so popular, GMC Sierra, Buick SUVs, discounts available, and low interest rates at robertsrobinson.com. They'd love to just build it for you. Have it built exactly like you like it, and they'll deliver it right to you. Even if you don't live anywhere near Excelsior Springs, they will work with you and save you money. They'll also offer you the lifetime warranty at no additional cost. Very few GM dealerships do that. robertsrobinson.com, 816-826-1563. North Kansas City Dental is your new dentist. Dr. Bill Bush would love to see you. Schedule that appointment. Just do a teeth cleaning. Go check it out. See if it doesn't feel a little bit better or more comfortable than where you normally go or where you normally don't go, because many of you will go 2, 3, 4 years without going until you have a problem. A lot of folks do that, but there's no reason for it. Great dental care is just a step away at North Kansas City Dental. You got to see this place, man. It's unbelievable. He's really, really, really good. We know he's the dentist to Chiefs players and staff. He can be your dentist too. Schedule an appointment, 816-471-2911, nkcdental.com. And my man Hutch over at Amazing Garage Floors would love the opportunity to come work up a bid for you and just see how much it costs to put in that amazing garage floor at your house. Trust me, you're going to love this if you do it. It's the perfect time of year to call. He's got some time to come on by and work up a bid and see what it costs depending on the size of your garage and the condition of your concrete and things like that. If you've got an old garage with cracks and whatnot and all that in it, you can repair all of it and just bring your garage back to brand new. It's such a cool product. Epoxy flooring in your garage, you're going to love it. He also seals concrete on your sidewalks and driveway. They can do it all in one project. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Call John or Heather at 913-901-7139. This is a tremendous veteran-owned business. Small business, mom and pop. Doesn't get any more mom and pop than this. As John and Heather work on many jobs themselves. 913-901-7139 for AmazingGarageFloors.net. We had a story come out on Tuesday evening about Iowa State's quarterback, Hunter Deckers, and he is out. He's not going to be in fall camp for Iowa State. He is out. Hunter Deckers, it appears, over the past couple of years, opened a DraftKings account in Iowa where that's legal for him to do. He opened a DraftKings account and made over 350 sports bets, totaling about $2,700. It comes out to $8 per bet. $8 per bet. It does appear that many of these bets were on Iowa State teams, some of these not the football team, maybe the basketball team or whatever, as all kinds of Iowa State students do, and Missouri students, KU students, K-State students, and students all over. They open these apps. They deposit some money. They bet 10 bucks. Hey, the Jayhawks are playing tonight. Let's put $10 on them against, you know, Colorado, whoever they're playing. And you do this. And Hunter Deckers did it. And people are outraged that when he wasn't even playing, he was riding the pine, he was a backup quarterback, he bet on Iowa State to win a game, his team, his football team. He bet on them to win a game. That is against NCAA rules. That is against Iowa State rules. All of these are. And he should pay whatever penalties there are for that. I think the NCAA and college athletics and the NFL have this all wrong at this point. I think in 5 years, we're going to look back and go, oh my God, could you believe that's what the penalties were? This stuff is easily trackable. We can tell clearly by the data. This has nothing to do with the integrity of college football. This is a kid betting 10 bucks, 5 bucks on some games, 5 bucks or 10 bucks on some games for entertainment. Never bet against his team that they can find. And people are outraged. And this has been the funniest thing is this is so new to so many young people in the media who've never covered any of this or followed any of this. This is so new. They're like, oh my God, he bet on his own team. That freaked you out? What if he bet against his own team? I'm shocked by the reaction. Like, I'm not sure there will be one Big 12 or SEC game this year. In fact, I don't think there will be. I don't think there will be one Big 12 or one SEC game this year where somebody in uniform for one of the two teams doesn't have action. There will be a player in every single game played this year in the SEC and the Big 12 where players in uniform have some kind of action. Now, does that mean they're on DraftKings doing it? No. Maybe their roommate has an account and they gave their roommate a $100 bill and said, put $100 in there for me and I'll let you know which games I want to bet. Maybe their girlfriend opened up an account. Maybe the guy who owns their favorite pizza place is a friend of the team and says, if you cover this week, I'll give you 10 free pizzas. It could be a million different things. There's action everywhere. It could be if you play at KU and your high school friend plays at K-State, you may text him or call him the week of the game and say, I'll bet you 30 pack of Bush Light we beat you this week. There's action everywhere. This is absurd. These are $8 bets, okay? Again, he's the quarterback of the team now. Whatever the penalties are, they're in place, and these players know, and the coaches tell them. So Hunter Deckers is screwed up. I'm not letting him off the hook here. I'm going somewhere else with this entirely. I'm not letting him off the hook. He should be suspended, whatever it is. Right now, they're in the message-sending phase of gambling, as it's legal in all these states. The Broncos lost a player last week for the entire season, the defensive lineman, Sean Payton's like, are you kidding me? These were small bets. He did. There's nothing. He's not fixing games. He's not betting against the Broncos. He's like, what is the NFL doing here? The owners own freaking DraftKings, for crying out loud. Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft are shareholders in the gambling sites. The owners own the gambling sites and the players can't make a bet. Okay, that's the rules and everybody knows the rules. But the punishment doesn't fit the crime. It just doesn't. It's not even close. Hunter Deckers, in all likelihood, will not play this year. He's the returning starting quarterback for Iowa State in the Big 12. In all likelihood, he's done and will never play again at Iowa State. That's what I believe. That's what the rules of the NCAA and Iowa State say. I think it's a joke. I think a kid in college that opens a DraftKings account and averages $8 a bet is no threat to the integrity of college football, Iowa State University, or the Iowa State football program. Zero threat. I made a joke to my friends last night. I'd be in favor of this. This would be legal. Why can't the athletic department say, we're going to bet $8,500 a game. There's 85 scholarship players, right? We're going to bet $8,500 a game. And if our team covers, everybody on the team under scholarship gets $100. What's wrong with go cover? Go cover is a good thing. Now, my argument is college athletes bet on every single play. Every single snap of college football, they're betting their future. They're risking their health against their ability to make money in the future. There's a bet on every single snap. Every three-point shot that any Jayhawk player takes, he's betting on his future. That's the entire point of playing in college. You get better, you can become a pro, you can make a lot of money. They're all in this for the money. Now we have NIL. You can make money by picking a college and going to a college and becoming the starting quarterback and doing deals with a car dealership or restaurant owners or fast food places or whatever it may be, jewelry stores. You do all those things. There's money in all of this now. There's money in all of it. The gambling apps are legal. How are you going to stop people? This is a generation of young players that have grown up on their devices, playing games, playing fantasy football, doing all kinds of things, and now they're legal and they can put $8 a game on it. And they're going to. And we're really going to sit here on some high horse and say, oh my God, college football is compromised and Hunter Deckers is the worst person in the world because he bet $8 a game on average. I think it essentially comes out to this. Hunter Deckers mostly bet on events and decided whether he was going to bet $5 or $10. And it averaged out somewhere near $8. That's what the guy did. Okay, so again, whatever the NCAA and Iowa State want to do, they do. The rules are in place. I think they need to change the punishments. I think they need to reconsider their policy completely. I think the NFL should be looking at this. Everybody sits back and says, oh, this is Iowa State's not my team. He should just be hammered. Don't let him play. Oh, that Broncos lineman, screw him. What happens when we find out Patrick Mahomes has an app? Then what? What happens when it's your favorite KU basketball player has an app? Then what? So how was all this discovered? This is the part that bothers me, and this is where I really want to go with this. In the state of Iowa, they have a Department of Criminal Investigations. They only have 25 officers. They have 25 agents for an entire state. 25. This is criminal investigations. And they seemingly have enough time on their hands that they went in last year to Hunter Decker's house and raided his house with a warrant and took his devices and his computer and everything they do to everyone. They raided the home of the Iowa State quarterback and found out, oh my God, he's betting $8 a game. They're prosecuting him criminally for this. Criminally. To make an example of him so other players don't gamble. This is not the issue. What Hunter Deckers is doing is not the problem. Do you want to know what the problem is? The problem is Alabama baseball. Okay, we just had a giant scandal this spring that was real and got no attention because, well, we don't want to touch Alabama, and it's only baseball, so we ignore it. Oh, my God, but Iowa State quarterback, this is perfect. Everybody knows football. Everybody bets on football. This is right in the wheelhouse. Nobody will be offended if we all just be like rabid dogs after Iowa State and their quarterback. That's easy. That's easy. Let's just go after this one. Boy, this was the perfect storm for the national media to come after Hunter Deckers and Iowa State. They're wanting to charge him criminally. So he now has to defend himself for doing something that was legal. It is not within the rules. We've said this all along about like college basketball players. Kansas would pay a college basketball player $100,000 to come to KU. Okay, that's against NCAA rules. They've broken a zillion rules at KU. But it's not against the law. It's not a crime for a high school basketball player to take money from somebody that wants to give it to you. There's no crime there. There's no crime by that player. There just isn't. You broke the organizational rules. That's all Hunter Deckers has done. And the fact that they're looking into him in the state of Iowa is a joke. Here's what Alabama baseball did. They have a coach named Brad Bohannon. He was texting a friend one day who was at a Cincinnati Reds game at their ballpark in Cincinnati, where they have a gambling window, not just an app. You can walk up to the window there in Cincinnati and put a bet down. And Brad Bohannon is texting his buddy saying, yeah, this kind of sucks. I can't start our ace tonight. We got to sit him. We got to start some kid that's never started a game before. They're getting ready to play LSU, who's really good. LSU's really good. Alabama and Bohannon were pretty excited. Their ace was going to go, but he's got a little tweak in his shoulder or something, and he can't pitch. So they can't throw their ace out there tonight against LSU. And he's texting his buddy saying, yeah, I'm starting this kid who's never started a game. This doesn't look good, but I got to do it. We'll play for tomorrow. We'll play for the next game in this series, not tonight's game. So his buddy walks up to the window at the Reds game and tries to bet $100,000 on LSU to beat Alabama. Now that's a scandal. That's a coach giving out negative information about his team, essentially telling his friend, go lay down some money on the team we're playing tonight because we ain't got much of a chance. I always defended Pete Rose. Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. This is the laziest argument ever in sports to talk about Pete Rose, so I'm not getting into Pete Rose. Pete Rose, as manager of the Reds, bet on the Reds with a bookie. He bet on his team. He never bet against his team. He bet on his team. People are outraged. Oh, my God, Hunter Deckers bet on his team. Would you want him to bet against his team? You want to see a scandal in college football? Find me a quarterback who's betting against his team and goes out and goes 12 for 27 with two interceptions. They lose the game and lose the cover, and it's later found out the kid made $100,000. Now you've got a scandal. Not Hunter Deckers, who's not playing, betting $8 on his team to win. And this is a criminal case? We got to figure this out, man. We got to figure this out fast. I totally get that if you want to play college athletics, you should not be betting at all on sports. I got it. But you know what? You can sit there and tell guys they shouldn't be drinking beer either, or don't drink and drive, or a million other things you tell college boys not to do because they're against the team rules. Team rules are going to get broken. And as team rules go, this is pretty damn harmless. Hunter Deckers could have gone out, gotten wasted, crashed his car, hurt somebody, and while we waited a year and a half for it to, you know, go through the legal system, oh, he would have been suspended for a game and then played the next week. Oh, but not betting $8 a game. We're going to do a criminal investigation. The Iowa Department of Criminal Investigation raided his house. Oh, what are we doing? There's just going to be more and more of this. Can't stop it. It's too easy to bet on your phone. It's too legal in too many places, and you can't stop it. And the Chiefs are not immune to it. It's normally players on the lower end. There is no reason for Patrick Mahomes to be betting on football. There is none. He's got a $500 million contract. What's he going to bet? $1,000 on a Chiefs game? Come on. It's a joke. So there's not nearly as big a problem in the pros as there is in college. The real problem is watch out for officials. That's the real problem. These guys make okay money, but man, if you can line up on a week and have a gambling account through somebody you know and have $10,000 on a game and throw a couple of flags at the right time, you can make a real difference in a game. Not 100%. You won't always win, but man, you can make a real difference. There's all kinds of people to worry about other than Hunter Deckers and what he's been doing. For integrity and integrity of the game. And people, there's so many newbies to all this, they don't realize that the threat here is the scam of big wagers betting against a team. Not betting for a team. It's always betting against a team. Like this guy was an Alabama fan, and he was putting $100,000 down on LSU because he knew Bama's ace was out, and they were throwing some rummy out there tonight as a sacrificial lamb so they can play for game two in the series with their better pitchers. That means not only are we starting this rummy, we're going to back him up out of the bullpen with some rummies, and we're going to save our better pitchers for game two. That's what Bama decided to do, and the guy knew it, and he tried to place a $100,000 bet. He got flagged right away. Nobody walks up in Cincinnati at a baseball game and bets $100,000 on a college game. So the whole thing was insane. Brad Bohannon, the coach at Alabama, has been fired. He'll never coach again. That's a proper penalty. I'm good with all of that. And criminal charges? Okay. I'm all ears. You want to investigate in Ohio and Alabama criminal charges against these men? I'm cool with that. That's racketeering. They were out to get the casinos. Clearly, they are subject to being charged for this, a criminal charge. But Hunter Deckers at $8 a bet when he's not even playing and he bet on his team so he could stand on the sideline and root for him just like everyone else in the stands that bet on the game and is rooting for their team? Oh, my God. Whew. What in the world are we doing? Oh, here's some good information. In Prairie Village, they had a primary on Tuesday for, this is city council at large. No, it's a Ward 3 spot. It's not an at-large spot. So this is just a primary. It's non-denominational is what I always call it. So you don't say whether you're Republican or Democrat or whatever, but the people in Prairie Village know. They have a really big issue in Prairie Village right now. The liberal council wants to rezone much of the city and create an opportunity to build affordable housing for low-income people. Oh, boy. You want to wake up the lady libs that love going and they're worried about abortion and race and all the things that they love, these college girls. You want to wake them up after they finally, you know, they're 34 years old. They've worked so hard to buy a house. They've rehabbed it. It's now worth $580,000. It's their pride and joy. And you want to move in low-income housing, people across the street? Whoa! You can get liberals to be non-liberals real fast doing stuff like that in Prairie Village. You want to open up a food shelter or something, or, you know, community center where we can help the underserved, underprivileged, or whatever. Oh, they're all for that. Uh-oh, you want to start building housing for people who don't make as much money as we do? Wait a second. So they go to the polls in this primary, and what do you know? A lady named Lori Sharp that nobody knows is a conservative GOP candidate, and she was the top vote getter because all she's doing is knocking door to door saying, I am opposed to rezoning for low-income housing in Prairie Village. And people are like, hell yeah, I'll vote for you. Bonnie Limburg is the incumbent. She finished second in the primary. Now, the real vote, I think, is in August. So to depend on who gets in that seat, you want to start flipping some of these crazy liberal Johnson County city councils that are out there just doing bizarre things that don't seem to fit with the people that live there. They're going to blow. See, they always go too far. They just can't handle it. Like, okay, we're in charge of everything here. We've got control. We got our nice little liberal Prairie Village little enclave. We got our own little bubble here. And then you start to feel guilty about it. Oh, our property values are going way up here in Prairie Village. We should build some affordable housing so we have neighbors that are poor. Because we'll feel better if we have poor neighbors. We can tell our friends in our liberal circle, we did a great thing. We built some housing a block and a half down from our house where some really poor people are moving in because we're good people. We wanted to help. Oh, boy, Prairie Village is split apart on this one. Look out. Come on, GOP, you can do it. You definitely can do it. I know you can. Our last news item in just one moment is kind of fun. I think you're going to like it. Brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging. Online at medimageks.com. See what's inside and see what's inside today. Ditch the expensive outside hospital chains, time-consuming. Had a friend tell me the other day that he was going in for a shoulder scan and it was going to take 4 weeks to do it with where his doctor was going to send him. Advanced Medical Imaging could do it the next day. MedImageKS.com. Don't forget, if you have not done the heart scan or if it's been more than a year, you might want to get your heart checked. It's under $100 to get a heart scan done and get a plaque score and see if there's anything building up around your heart. It only takes 5 minutes. Advanced Medical Imaging, 785-856-0224, online at medimageks.com. Fry Orthodontics is the great place to get the smile for a lifetime. Dr. Jeremy and his team work with smiles on their faces while you get your treatment because they don't want you to dread going in there and doing it. And it doesn't really matter whether you do braces or Invisalign. So many people qualify for both. But if you want to find out if you qualify for Invisalign, why not schedule that first appointment at Fry Orthodontics? It's always free. There's 13 locations, so there's one near you. And Invisalign is the same price as braces. If you'd like to schedule that first appointment or to learn more, just log on to fryorthodontics.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Online at crosskitchenskc.com. If you'd like to get a hold of Tim, Brittany, they'd love to hear from you. 816-898-7047. Schedule a meeting to discuss your dreams. Get a fully detailed 3D rendering for the design service of what they'd like to do for you. Then you decide whether you want to do the job or not. Tim's craftsmen have been on the job for years. He started his company many years ago, and he paid them first. And he and his wife were kind of broke, to be honest. He paid them first because they didn't have enough to go around. It's going better now. He's got several crews and does amazing work all over Kansas City because he treats people right, does quality work on time for the price he says. CrossKitchensKC.com. Our final news item comes from, this was almost our final. This comes from a Twitter account that I love to follow. It's called Midwest versus Everybody. And it really accentuates why we love being Midwesterners. Even if you've relocated and you're living elsewhere, you remember what it's like to live in the Midwest. And there are just things about the Midwest that I use the word cozy to describe. We have a certain comfort, niceness, and charm. A lot of folks in the Midwest have a hard time saying no or telling people the truth. Or, you know, everybody wants to please everyone in the Midwest. So we like that. So this whole Twitter account is dedicated to things that are just typically Midwest that you don't see anywhere else in the country. You can define Midwest how you want, but this is largely the map they show is Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, and north, up into Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, places like that. But it doesn't matter. We have our own language. We have our own way of life. So this one was pretty good. This is Learn Midwestern English 101. In other words, we're doing a college class. Learn Midwestern English 101. We'll see means not coming. I'll let you know means you're not coming. Not sure yet. Oh, you're very sure you're not coming. I'll see if we can make it work means it will not work and we're definitely not coming. And then the best one, I'll think about it. There's nothing to think about here, and we're definitely not coming. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think that's right for the most part. That's kind of how we are. We have a hard time telling people, no, I can't make it. No. You know what? I'll try. We'll see. I'll let you know. Not sure yet. I'll see if we can make it work. We'll think about it. They all mean, no, we're not going to be there. Midwest versus everyone on Twitter, if you'd like to check that one out. It's fun. On to sports. The Royals had a big trading day on Tuesday at the trade deadline. They traded Scott Barlow, who's been around for a few years, never became a star, was just a guy, if you ask me. He was at times good, but just not consistent enough. Ryan Yarbrough had a great start over the weekend, and they were able to trade him. Royals, in all, I think, traded 5 players for 8. It's all worth a shot. There's no reason for me to spend a lot of time here going over who these players are. It's what the internet is for. You want to research who they got, what they're all about, go check it out. The Royals will now save millions of dollars over the last 2 months of the season by the players they traded away. I mean, like, they're going to save almost $2 million on Nicky Lopez being gone. So it's millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of money saved over the next couple of months. So good for the Royals. I have no trouble with any of this. They're not good enough to say, we got to keep them, whatever. The story here is what didn't happen. They did not trade Salvador Perez, and they had a lot of opportunities. And J.J. Piccolo detailed on Tuesday that he spent most of the entire day keeping Salvador Perez updated on what was going on, that there were some really good offers for Salvador Perez, but Salvador Perez has a no-trade clause, so he'd have to waive that and agree to where he was going. And a deal was not consummated. There were some bigger offers. There were some really good offers for Salvador Perez, who's under contract for a few more years. So that would have been like a mother load. I'm okay with the fact they didn't trade him. If they didn't, they're showing some restraint. I love Salvador Perez. I think he's a great person to have on your team if you are rebuilding as well. The other player that was really coveted is not anybody you'd even think of. And that's Carlos Hernandez, who becomes the Royals closer now that Barlow is gone. Apparently, everybody in baseball wants this guy, that they just see a really bright future for him, that he's going to be a stud. Now, he's a big, hard-throwing dude who blew it last night, although the Royals won. They've won four in a row. They won in extra innings. More on that in a moment. Carlos Hernandez, they were getting big offers for, but nothing that they thought they were willing to do. So they obviously believe that Carlos Hernandez is their closer of the future, and Salvador Perez is a piece they got to keep around, and they didn't do this. So I think the most important thing was they didn't do a deal for those guys. Those would have been the deals that if they did them, whoever they got in return needed to be a home run. They needed to get somebody who was going to be a really good player for quite a while if they traded one of those guys. The Royals have won four in a row. They won with a balk off on Tuesday night, if you can believe that. I mean, it's crazy the way they won this one. They caught a couple of breaks from the umpiring in the bottom of the 10th inning. They had an error at first base, a throwing error, wide of first base, and the Royals base runner made a move towards second base, and the umpire ruled he did not make a move towards second base. He was just forced that way. That was a terrible call for the Mets. And then the balk was quite something. The pitcher's on the mound, and he's a lefty, so his left foot is on the rubber. And once you're on there, you know, the pitch clock starts. You're set and you're ready to go. And the catcher behind home plate is tapping the side of his head as if to say he can't hear the pitch comm thing. They got this pitch comm thing where he tells him what the pitch is. The bases are loaded. The game is tied. And the pitcher can't hear it, and the catcher's making a motion, and he should have just immediately called timeout and didn't. And the pitcher now is confused and can't hear and doesn't know what to do. And he goes to pick his left foot up off the rubber and realizes he can't do that, and he moves it. Well, he moved his left foot, and the umpire gets up, and the catcher walks out, and they're like, hey, comms, our comms aren't working. Buck Showalter comes after the Mets, our comms aren't working. Third base umpire crosses the diamond to the first base umpire and says, did you see what I see? And the two of them are talking. They turn to the home plate umpire, and they both go, balk, game over. And it was over. They called a balk, and the Royals won on a balk off. They've won four in a row, which is pretty cool. The bigger story, of course, with the Royals is the downtown ballpark. There's a man named Brian Platt, who's the city manager in Kansas City, Missouri, and he doesn't seem to care whether it's in the East Village downtown or North Kansas City. 2 days ago, I drove with Jessica to the site. I'm familiar with the East Village site. It's not an East Village, a bunch of parking lots. There's no village there. There's parking lots on the loop, on the bad part of downtown. Okay? That's what that part is. We went across the river. I wanted to see 18th and Fayette and what's going on there. And this is really an interesting site. I don't know about traffic. I don't know about getting to the ballpark. I don't know about any of that stuff. There would be no view of downtown or anything like that. But that's a really cool place to build a ballpark. It's thriving. And it's not far from NKC Dental and some of these other places we talk about. There's all kinds of breweries and shops, and they've taken some old buildings and turned them into lofts. There's really cool stuff going on right there. That would be a really good place for the Royals to be. Again, I can't speak about traffic. I have no idea. That's going to be a lot of people crossing bridges to get over there, which obviously creates traffic. And a lot of times that would be around rush hour. So, again, whatever. We looked at the site and where all this is. There's a lot of empty parking there as well, some warehouses, some funky little old buildings and businesses of people who will hit the mother load if they own those things. There's a couple of old metal sheds that look like small airplane hangars or army barracks from way back in the day. That's not what they are, I don't think. But you can't even tell what those businesses are. They would literally be right next to where the ballpark is. The Royals theoretically would buy that and turn that into whatever they want to do. There's money to be made for a lot of people there if they start buying up that land, but it's pretty cool. The city manager is basically bad-mouthing the Royals. He doesn't seem to care whether they're downtown or across the river. He says either way, downtown wins, that people will stay in the hotels downtown and things like that, even if the ballpark is across the river. That's an interesting way to look at it. But then he went on to say, we don't have any details from the Royals. We'd like to have them here in the East Village. We'd like to do whatever we can. But, quote, it seems like they're having a lot of problems internally making it work, unquote. Whoa. Kansas City city manager discussing the Kansas City Royals, saying it seems like they're having a lot of problems internally making it work. Well, that's a whole new spin on why we're getting these long letters from John Sherman. And it doesn't surprise me in any way. What they're having trouble with is, what taxpayers are going to pay us money right now to build a stadium? That's their hesitance. When they decide, they're going to have to put something on the ballot. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not. Pretty interesting to hear the city manager say that. And he basically makes it sound like he doesn't care whether they go East Village or North Kansas City. It is largely believed that, is that Clay County? Do I have that right? I always get Platt and Clay. I don't know why I get these counties mixed up. East Village is Jackson County. Across the river is the other county. It's Northland, a lot of rich people. It's very conservative, right? That county's way more conservative than Jackson. They seem willing to put together a package with a lot of money to steal the Royals from Jackson County because they know it will be good in the long haul. You're talking about probably a 50-year deal here for that county if they build a stadium and hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue and new businesses and all kinds of growth. It makes sense that they would be the ones willing to cough the money up. We'll see how it plays out. Right now, Kansas City, Missouri city manager says the Royals are having problems internally making all this work. Our final is brought to you by bstock.net. I got an email from Chris yesterday at Bstock. He said, Kevin, we have appliances. We got to get rid of them. They take up way too much room in our warehouse. We'll deliver. We'll even install, which they don't normally do, but they've got some people that they can hire and install. He said, if you need a refrigerator, washer, and dryer, if you need appliances, we will work with you on the price. Please get these out of our warehouse. They have more profitable items they can bring in, televisions, computers, things like that. They're out of warehouse space. These appliances are taking up all this space. Wheel and deal. It is cheap right now. You're going to save hundreds on any appliance. If you need a fridge, you need a washer and dryer, bstock.net, they'll deliver it to you and install it now and save you a ton of money. So log on to bstock.net or visit their showroom at 14680 South Flaming Road or give them a call. Just say, hey, what do you have? They got wonderful associates there that'll work their way through with you. He's never sent me. I don't want to say Chris is desperate. He's not a desperate man. He's not a desperate man. He just wants these things gone. I'm not kidding. He literally just wants them out. He needs the warehouse space. Please come get these appliances. They're taking up too much room. Just take them off our hands. That's essentially all they want. Bstock.net. Back 9 Development is your custom builder in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, and Manhattan. TJ Vilkanskas, I think I'm going to have dinner with TJ on Saturday night and his wife. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. He's an awesome dude, man, and he's really a great builder and developer. If you've got a project in mind, if you've got land, or if you're just looking at a subdivision and a lot and you want to build a house, you might want to ask him, hey, what can you do to make it different than the other houses in our neighborhood? We want to go custom and do it our way and something unique for us. TJ would love to work with you on that project. Consultation's free. Find out if you guys match up as partners. 785-236-0161 for back9development.com. And Earth Effects Outdoor, I haven't talked to TJ, but he's probably done some work with Earth Effects Outdoor, doing some of the landscaping at some of his houses that he's built and things like that. EEOutdoor.com is the website for all your landscaping needs, including hardscapes. Our final is Jason Aldean. Congratulations, Jason Aldean. Something that's never happened in his really great Hall of Fame career. He is number one on the Billboard charts. Try That in a Small Town is the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100. And for the first time in the history of Billboard's Hot 100, three country music songs are number one, two, and three. There are signs everywhere that we're going to be okay. There are more signs that we're in trouble in this country, but there are more and more signs every day of people fighting back in their own way, showing us that maybe we're going to be all right. Congratulations, Jason Aldean. Try That in a Small Town is number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and most radio stations in this country won't even play it. So sad. That's it for this episode of KKHI. Thank you so much, for hitting the subscribe, like, or follow button. That means the world to us. Tell your friends about it. Spread the word. Thank you for supporting the sponsors. And we're going to have some very, very big news in the upcoming week about the podcast, and a giant thank you to all of you. So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much, as always, for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.